Welcome to the Get Radio podcast, a weekly roundup of news, events and conversations from the radio. In a week that saw football managers lose their jobs, politicians not, apologies for language and cheating, and also the build-up to Valentine's Day. It was a week of good news for Oxfordshire that included the Yurt at Nicholson's being awarded a Michelin bib. Cotswold Wildlife Park open daily now after winter refurbishments. Wallingford Jazz Festival returning. Estelle Manor being named one of the best hotels in the UK. The Whitney Music Festival having a comedy night on the 11th of June. Molly's Diner and the Slow and Steady voted Oxfordshire's best burgers. And of course, a big FA Cup tie between Oxford and Sunderland. That's your good news. Here's what's in the podcast. Looking forward to my next conversation, joined by the principal of LVS Oxford, Melanie Waller. Melanie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Rich. Thank you for having me on the show. Give me some time.
Absolute pleasure. Before we get into the wonderful event that is happening on Friday, just tell everyone a little bit more about LVS Oxford.
Okay, LVS Oxford is a specialist school for autistic students. We are a group of four schools. Three of our schools are specialist schools: Oxford, Ascot and Kennington School. We're based Bedbrook near Woodstock. We have 80 places, small primary school. So that's LVS Oxford.
And this leads us nicely into the amazing event that you've got happening this weekend. Just explain a little bit about the event and why it's come about.
Okay, so what we've seen in the last couple of years is a huge increase of young people with EHCPs, and the demand for specialist places has increased hugely, as you can imagine. So in January 2025, 640 students, young people, were on EHCPs. This is a 10% increase than the previous year. We haven't got the statistics for this year yet. So as a small school, we get, as you can imagine, lots of admissions inquiries. 2 years ago, we were seeing 20 people come into our open days. Now we're seeing 50, 60, and we're doing that twice a month, where we're initially doing that once a month. So on the back of that, we get a lot of phone calls because of the specialist nature of our school from parents and families that don't have placements, asking us for advice and where to seek advice. Now, we can only signpost them to certain people. And as you can imagine, all the agencies involved in the EHCP process are extremely busy. So what I decided to do was actually to sort of have a signpost autism day, which would bring together all these professionals in one place. This is not for our families, because our families are already in our school. These are for families and parents that are actually seeking some guidance and some networking. So we decided to reach out to professionals. They were really forthcoming and said, what a great idea. So on Friday the 13th, we've got about 30 professionals all coming to the school, and we opened up the day to parents and families. Now, we have been honestly inundated. We are a small school. We've only got, capacity for 80 students, and it's our car parking facilities that actually stops us inviting 200-300 people. So what we did, we had three sessions of inviting 30. Now, we've opened that up to 40. We have a massive waiting list, and we will do it again later on in the year. So what this shows the community is that there is massive demand for these sorts of events to go on in our community, our wider community and our local community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, that, like you said, this is born from, obviously, you're doing wonderful work with your students. And like you said, if you could open the floodgates and have as many students as you possibly could, of course you would. And this is kind of there to kind of go, well, actually, we are getting loads of phone calls. We are getting, because I guess that parents in that sort of situation, there's always that worry, there's always that concern. And if there is a wonderful, wonderful school like yours to help and assist, you want to keep helping and assisting, even if your places are full.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've just increased ours this year to 100 students this year, 120 students, because of, you know, the huge demand. You know, we saw, like I say, last year, these statistics are based on last year, they haven't been published yet. We've, you know, there's nearly 160,000 students still waiting for an assessment for an EHCP. 105 assessments were carried out. So the demand is huge. But what I think is the issue here is that if these students aren't given the right provision and the right support and the right help, it has a huge effect on the whole family. You know, students are at home. That can affect the mental health. It can affect the whole family. So there's a bigger picture here that we need to look at. So, you know, LVS Oxford holding the Signpost Autism is a little way to help in the community. And as I say, you know, the demand has been absolutely massive. We've got a waiting list. So we've got 160 people throughout the day arriving. Hopefully these parents and families will be able to network with each other. Because that's always good, because every parent's story is very different. They'll be able to seek, whether it's legal advice, whether it's talking about alternative provisions, whatever advice, you know, hopefully they need, they may be able to be either get it on the day or will be referred to the right person. And they'll get to see a provision like ours. You know, as I say, once again, you know, there are only so many of these provisions in the county, and demand is extremely high. But it's about the whole family, this is about supporting the whole family, because it's a ripple effect. If a student's not in a provision, they're at home. If they're at home, the effect is that parents can't go to work, the mental health of that child. So it's a huge society problem, actually, and we're just doing a small thing to help.
And just by sort of looking at the list, or the extensive list, I should say, of some of the wonderful organisations that are going to be sort of representing at the Open Day, you really do get a breadth of every step of help that is available. Just picking one out purely because we've had them on the show, for their wonderful Be Free Young Carers as well, who are going to be there in some capacity. Having that breadth of people, I guess it shows there is the support out there. Yes, of course, more can be done, but this is a kind of, like you say, a signpost towards actually there is a lot of help there out there. You're not alone, parents.
Yeah, and I think that's what needs to be, you know, we need to do more of this in the community. And these organisations, you know, thank you so much to all these organisations. They're giving up their time. They're coming in here. And I think, you know, as I said, we get a huge amount of calls from parents asking us for advice. And we can't always advise on, you know, on certain matters. So we just signpost them to the right people. The issue is then is getting hold of these organisations, because they're stretched. Everybody's stretched. It's not a fault. It's not anything like that. So actually getting them all together. And as I say, you know, all the organisations that are giving up their time, you know, thank you so much. And as I say, this is not about the school. This is about the community, the wider community, and supporting people. These parents, families may not have provisions. Their students may be in a provision that's not suited to the needs of their child. So they're looking for the right provisions and the right support. But once again, it's, you know, and it's also for families, you know. And I also think, you know, bringing 140, 150 families together, they can support each other. And it's about bringing them together in one arena. And this is what this event will hopefully do. You know, based on the back of this, we will have another event. We may move the venue to a bigger venue, because we've seen that there is a massive interest in these kind of events.
No, absolutely. Well, look, best of luck with the event this weekend. Am I right in sort of thinking that you're at capacity for this event coming up on Friday? It'd be remiss to sort of say if you want to come down or put yourself on a waiting list. Is it looking out for the next one? Is that where we're at the moment?
Yes, we are. So if you go to LVS Oxford website, you can see there the booking is now full, but you can put yourself on a waiting list. We will put out a date later on this week, which will confirm, or later next week, confirm the next. We're just waiting for, obviously, it's not down to us. It's down to the professionals and them giving their time. And once again, a huge thank you to them. So it's about them giving their time. So it's kind of a big operation to organise, you know, and the team here work extremely hard. But, you know, so tell, you know, anybody who wants to go on that waiting list, go on that waiting list. You know, they can always pick up the phone to LVS Oxford and we can help them where we can. There's no problem with that. But, yeah, sorry, the event is now fully booked.
Well, that's it's great that the event is on. It's great that there's going to be so many people there, and I'm sure it will help countless families this Friday and also going forward for no doubt the next successful events as well. Melanie, it's been a joy and a pleasure catching up with you, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. Thank you for your time. Have a nice day.
Yeah, you too. Absolute pleasure. Melanie Welder, the principal of LVS Oxford and their Autism Awareness Hub, which is on Friday. But as we heard, it is fully booked, but there will be more, of course. Wonderful.
It's about that time where we have a little look at some events happening across Oxfordshire in the next few weeks. First of all, the Midnight Market is happening on the 27th of March between 7 p.m. and midnight at Tap Social in Botley. It's got loads of artists, artisans and crafty folk, but instead of the early start that normally comes with a market, it comes alive after dark. There's going to be DJs, live music, freshly fired sourdough pizza, award-winning beers and cocktails, all while you browse and shop in style. So just search Midnight Market Tap Social Oxford to find out a little bit more about that one. And also, if you're planning your Easter celebrations, an Easter tablescaping masterclass is happening at John Lewis in the Westgate on the 20th of March. It's ideal if you love hosting, enjoy getting creative, or you just want to make your Easter gathering look a little bit special this year. Just search Easter tablescaping masterclass at John Lewis Oxford to book your place. And don't forget, if you're ever organising an event, you can let us know. Just head to getradio.co.uk, click on Get Local, and fill in all the details.
Always a good catch up with the boys from the Three Horseshoes. It's Mike and Tommy. Morning, boys.
Morning, Mark.
Right, we've got you on because obviously this weekend is Valentine's weekend, and it's a big weekend for the pub. What's going on?
Right, do you want to hit off?
Well, yeah. So this Valentine's Day, we have the legendary Count Skylarkin returning for his Jamaican lovers' rock evening, accompanied by some classic Caribbean food by Chef Tyrone, and Chef Ryan is on his Ollie Bobs.
Nice, lovely, and that is all tying in beautifully. I love the fact that you've got the music complementing the food. That's a nice musical food pairing, which is going to be absolutely awesome.
Fully booked, a couple of spaces left available, but it's always a cracking night. You know, we love the Count. He's a Oxfordshire icon nowadays. You know, massive following, great DJ, great better person. He's an absolute legend. We love him to bits. So yeah, it's going to be a really, really lovely, chilled, lovely evening.
And we've just tried to make our Valentine's Day just a little bit different to what you would all expect last year. It was New Orleans cuisine. It was a very, very cool, vibing evening. And again, this year, just something a little bit different. But to incorporate the Count with it is just something extra special because people love him. And he always does something different when he comes to us.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's about offering the customer something new, something different to try. And you guys are always fantastic at kind of doing that, of kind of going, okay, well, it's Valentine's Day. We could, you know, offer a glass of champagne first. I'm thinking, as you know what I mean, but that sort of generic thing that you could do, but actually thinking outside the box makes it more different. It makes it more special. It makes it more memorable, I guess, for everyone that's going to be there.
It just makes it the Three Horseshoes. You know, we know how tough the economy is at the moment. We know people don't have unlimited amounts of cash. So to give a reason for people to come out is really important. And actually on a Valentine's Day, to make it super special and to have live music and to have a different offering from the kitchen. You know, and I've tried some of Tyrone's food this week. It's absolutely banging. So, you know, people are really in for a lovely evening. So we can't wait for that.
That's going to be amazing.
From the rain as well.
Yeah, exactly. Undercover, which is a great thing. Well, let's move on to Sunday, because Sunday is no different as well. Something very, very special as well happening.
Yeah. So it's one that's obviously very close to our hearts, yours as well, Rich. So this Sunday at 6 o'clock is our third annual auction for Maggie Centre in Oxford. That was, like I said, it's a very personal thing for us. One of our dear regulars, Pauline, is battling cancer. So 3 years ago, we decided we wanted to start doing something with Pauline, working with her. She chose a charity, and it was obviously Maggie Centre in Oxford. And we do an auction this year. It's just ramped up each year on year, and it's a fantastic evening. It's a real community event. People really get behind it. A, because look, everybody's been affected by cancer in some way, shape or form. It's horrendous. It sucks. If we can just do our little bit to help, then that's cool. But let's make it a really cool evening at the same time, eh? It's not all about being somber. It's about doing the right things, doing our little bit for the community and for the people battling and for Maggie Centre, giving Pauline a really cool evening as well, and AD, and just have some fun with it. So we got the legendary Rich Snow coming to play, a few tunes on the piano. We've got a rather wonderful auctioneer. Who's that?
Hi, Rich. You see, the worst bit about that was, I thought when you started saying legendary, I thought, no, this is my bit. This is where they're going to say that I'm going to do the auction. No, it's Rich Snow. He's even got the same first name as me as well. I was gutted about that. But yes, it is going to be an amazing night. And Tommy, this just sums the Three Horseshoes up, doesn't it? We've just spoken about doing something different for Valentine's Day and doing something for the community, for your regulars. In a nutshell, this 48 hours this weekend, that's the pub.
Yeah, it's what we do. You know, we love our charity work. It's a big part of what we did. It's a big part of our business model when we first took the pub on, you know, and being able to help people and raise awareness and money is, yeah, these charities don't survive without people like us, you know, so it's really important. And we love doing it. That's the key. It's for no gratification for ourselves. We just love helping and we love doing it for the people and, you know, the community. And Maggie's are a great charity, you know, amazing respite for cancer patients. And, you know, we know a lot of people that have used them, and we have some of their volunteers come to the pub quite often and eat and drink with us. So we've gained an amazing relationship alongside those guys, and they truly are a remarkable charity.
You know, and Tommy said they're self-funded as well. So they rely on every single donation, every single penny. It really helps. They haven't got that backing. So yeah, they're amazing bunch of guys. We absolutely love working with them.
Well, I'm going to sort of say, make sure you sort of head down there on Sunday afternoon, even if you're sort of just drifting in and up and down the high street and what have you, and you sort of drift into Three Horseshoes on a Sunday night, sit down, enjoy some amazing music, and just kind of remember that community, remember that charity, remember that spirit, and just sit there and have a wonderful night. And we'll have a bit of a laugh as well with the auction, I'm sure of that.
Absolutely. We got some amazing prizes as well to get the auction off, including something. We got a flying lesson.
A flying lesson? Oh, my days. Oh,
yes.
Wow.
We got a signed Manchester United shirt signed by the legendary Roy Keane.
Oh, here we go.
We got a free course lunch for two at the 20 Stories Rooftop Restaurant in Manchester. There's about 10 to 12 lots. So we've got some really, really cool prizes donated by some very, very kind people.
And before we carry on, we've got a very secret lot as well towards the end. So I can't really reveal that on the air.
Okay. Oh, are you going to tell me eventually what it is? Because I'm doing the audio.
No, it's probably a bit too sexual, Rich, if I'm honest.
Right. Okay. In which case, let's move swiftly
on that note.
That subject. I was going to ask you one last question that I did mention just before we came on air with Valentine's Day coming up and the whole feeling of love. We every time we speak, I hear the love and I hear the passion of you guys with the pub, and we just heard it with everything that's happening this weekend as well. I just want to ask a simple question. What do you love about running the Three Horseshoes? You could both answer it, or one of you. What's that love?
Both answer.
Yeah.
It's easy. The people, the community, our customers, we love them, our team. It's what it sounds easy to answer, but it's what this pub's all about, isn't it? It's what this pub's all about. It's about the people coming in, feeling safe, having a laugh, meeting people, our team get on well with our customers. It's one extended family. And this man, of course, and our partners. That's what we all love.
You know, sometimes when you sit back and, you know, me and Mike put in 70, 80, 90 hours a week into this business, and sometimes you can sit back and you take it all in when you have that opportunity and you go, do you know what? We've created something really special here, and we're really, really super, super, super proud of what we do. But it doesn't happen without our customers and our staff and as Mike said, the community. So, you know, it really is a labour of love.
And these events, just to tie back into that, these events don't happen without our regulars and without the community, we can keep coming up with ideas that we think are cool and are a bit quirky, a bit different. We'll raise a shed load of money for charity, but we need that support of our regulars and the extended community, Whitney and West Oxfordshire. So yeah, it's easy. Yeah, we love them. We love them all.
Love that, guys. Well, look, I'm looking forward to Sunday spending the night with you as well. The auction is going to be absolutely fantastic and raising loads of money for Maggie's as well, which is the most important thing, but also we'll raise a few smiles in the pub as well. Always a great pleasure having you on, boys. And yeah, best of luck with Valentine's Day as well this weekend. A lot of love for you. There we go. Cheers, Mike. Cheers, Tommy.
Great
stuff. Yeah, make sure you get yourself down to the shoes anytime. Of course, it is an amazing, amazing place. Mike and Tommy, legends.
Oxfordshire Station, get radio.
Really looking forward to catching up with my next guest, Efe Gwale, who's going to be performing in an upcoming performance at the Chipping Norton Theatre of the complete works of Shakespeare. Efe, good morning to you.
Good morning, Rich.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, I'm going to use what Shakespeare does to me. When I hear Shakespeare, I get transported back to my school days and go, oh no, it's Shakespeare. I'm not going to understand it. I'm not going to get around it. This is something completely different. Tell us all.
So the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, does what it says on its tin, okay? We are going to talk about the complete works of William Shakespeare and essentially perform them all for you. Some might get more than one line of a mention. Some might get a full performance. Obviously, you have to see the show to see which one. But just for you, Rich, that we do have one of the characters say, I think I'm allowed to say this, I don't think this is a spoiler, literally say the words, I was so bored when I was learning Shakespeare in school. I didn't want to do boring Shakespeare in school. So this is a show for people who love Shakespeare and who hate Shakespeare. Somehow Adam has managed to write a show that balances both.
and just touching on that, I mean, that is an incredibly difficult thing to do because obviously people like myself and what have you who go, oh no, I'm the fear of Shakespeare. But look, we can't get away from Shakespeare being one of the great playwrights. You know, language as it is today has taken so much from Shakespeare. So addressing that balance, making something funny and taking the mick out of it a little bit, but also being true to the great man himself is a tough one.
It is tough. Actually, the main note that Adam, our director, has given to us is play this show like a drama. That is going to surprise a lot of people coming to see this comedy show because it's ridiculously funny. But the sense is, you know, we've got three characters who really want to give you a good version of Shakespeare, but most people in this country, we might have heard of Shakespeare, but not everyone has a clear idea of how to do it well, and that is where the humor comes from. You know, imagine three well-intentioned people trying to put on Shakespeare without quite the knowledge or the skill set to do it well, but completely earnestly trying to give you a good show. And that's where you can enjoy both those layers because they've got good intentions, like real Shakespeare lovers. They just don't quite have the skill set to turn it into a globe production.
I love that. But isn't that, that's great because actually that's a real nice entry point. And often I'm stereotyping just a little bit with theatre, generalisation. But with theatre, there is that potential stuffiness of kind of like, well, you need to get this. You need to understand this. This is how it's done. It's Shakespeare. That's how it's performed. But actually the entry level for people getting into to whatever, whether it be Shakespeare or music or anything like that, it can be that kind of alternative version. It can be that comedy funny version where you go in and go, oh, actually I see something here that I can get my teeth into, I can enjoy it, and I get around it, and I understand.
Absolutely. I think the idea that something has to be serious for it to be knowledgeable is something we have to let go of. Like, you know, I remember when Parasite won like the Best Picture Oscar, yeah. A lot of people didn't want to watch it because they were like, oh no, it's going to be a serious drama. I put it on for my friends and they were like, this is hilarious. I was like, yes, guys, satire, comedy can also have deep comments on society and about capitalism, you know, and this in a sense is very similar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good similarities between Shakespeare and Parasite. Who'd have thought we were going to get that? I love that. and just for yourself, Efe, as well, to kind of being in something with the prestige of the Shakespeare, you know, name above it, that must be an awesome thing.
Yeah, it's really, really special. I mean, my character says she did her dissertation on Shakespeare, and I actually did in drama school, like my whole show about Shakespeare. And it's so hilarious actually turn it all on head, like pretend as if I didn't go to drama school and still wanted to do this amazing show with all of the works of Shakespeare. I also feel like it's quite nice to be able to do it in a way where you have freedom, I think, to just enjoy the words, enjoy the work, playing with it. I think a lot of the time, and this is why people get turned off when they think of Shakespeare, there is a sense of like, listen, because of the prestige of this work, I couldn't possibly say this any other way. I've messed up my iambic pentameter. And with this, it's like, well, imagine if we knew all of that, but it kind of didn't matter. And we just enjoyed the art of theatre. And I do feel like this really enjoys the idea of creating theatre just for the sake of enjoyment. I feel like we miss that a lot these days. Mm. And as an actor, it feels like a privilege to be able to just actually genuinely have fun on stage.
And just from a real personal experience, obviously, like you just mentioned, on both sides of the fence, that kind of doing it from a Shakespeare, from an academic drama serious point of view, and then kind of crossing that fence, yeah, and looking at it, that must be a real interesting kind of balance in your mind about how to play characters, how to deal with Shakespeare, and probably it's probably changed the way you look at Shakespeare in a massive way.
In so many ways, especially I think, you know, being, you know, from London, Essex, and then having an American talking to me about his experience of Shakespeare, you appreciate even more like the work, like the effort, I don't know how the art transcends so many boundaries. And I think, again, this is a piece that's given me more freedom working on Shakespeare than any other time. Like when I was auditioning for drama school and they were teaching me how to read a monologue, it was very serious. It was very, very, very serious. And now I have a director looking me in the eye and saying, now, if you leave a beat here for the laughter, you know, but we're talking about Hamlet's to be or not to be speech.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a wonderful way and a brilliant thing, and obviously being on tour as well, that must be such an enjoyable thing. Kind of just I mean, you're basing yourself in Chipping Norton for a good sort of 10 days or so, the run at Chipping Norton, which is absolutely fantastic. So you can kind of get settled, but then just sort of traveling this around and seeing new places and different things, that must be really enjoyable as well.
Yeah, you get to see so much of the country, like genuinely places I would never have gone to. Like the next place we're going to is Basingstoke. Listen, I can't wait to see what they've got going on over there. Like I genuinely wouldn't have had a reason to be in Basingstoke. But, you know, you also get an opportunity to see family that I wouldn't normally see. I'm staying with like my uncle in Manchester because I can be there, you know, because I'm doing a show there. So touring is such a unique opportunity, I feel like, to really get into the country, to spend time with yourself, see people you normally wouldn't. And I also feel like, you know, this is a special show to be able to bring it to places that wouldn't maybe necessarily get this range of theatre. That feels amazing as well.
No, and definitely the Chipping Norton Theatre is kind of echoing that sentiment and sort of really looking forward to having you and having that amazing play on come the 18th of February, and they'll be there for 10 days as well. Efe, it's been great catching up with you. Thank you ever so much. Have a wonderful time on tour and enjoy yourself in Chipping Norton.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Chipping Norton.
No worries. No worries at all. Efe Aguale there, who's going to be in the upcoming production of The Complete Works of Shakespeare, Abridged, as I say, at the Chipping Norton Theatre come the 18th of February. Get your tickets now.